Okay, so we're talking Zion tonight. If you remember in yesterday's stop, we went through the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that some things don't have ona'ah. Some items that are purchased, ona'ah is price brought, the dinim of ona'ah. Ona'ah. So some dinim are not subject to ona'ah, and we said like avadim, shtarot, karkot, hekdeshot, slaves, docket, like commercial paper, real property, things that you're makdish to the base of mikdash. Not such as dinim of ona'ah. Now is we said there were different dinim with ona'ah. With me in this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so if you remember, we said in the Mishnah, if it's a sixth, that's deviation in price of the sixth from the true value, then the defrauded property can get the money back. In other words, we paid too much money for it, he gets it back. And then that was the way it came out of the halakha. And if it was more than a sixth, then either party can void the sale. So the Gemara, let's look at today's daf on the Zion with Aleph. So the third line, so Amar Rav Chasa, by Rabbi Ami, was Masupak. He had a question. Does the Tana mean they're not subject to Ona? In other words, it's a sixth, so the Dinam Ona you don't have for all these items, but perhaps Bitul Mekach are your remedies when it's more than a sixth. Maybe those remedies still exist, O Ein Lehem, or perhaps not. And the idea would be that perhaps bitul mekach is a din in mekach taus. In other words, perhaps the Torah is saying, one din, if there's a slight deviate, or that being very slight, we say everybody's mochel. A little bit more, then we have certain remedies, like you get money back. But even more than that, when it's out of the ballpark, then it's bitul mekach. And bitul mekach means it's like a mistaken sale. And so if it's like a mistaken sale, maybe all those items are subject to mistaken sale, or perhaps not. Perhaps bitul mekach, perhaps, is only when there's a mistake, like 5 pounds versus 4 pounds, or this item versus the other item, but where it's the same item, maybe there is some dinim mekach. So Amar Rav Nachman, Hadar Amar Rav Chasa, Rav Nachman said later on, Rav Chasa said, Pashu Rabbi Yami, Ona in lehem bitul mekach yesh lehem. That Rabbi Yami later on, he deduced that no, Inachinami, the one side, that indeed there's no din ona, but they do have bitul mekach. They do have bitul mekach. Even though, if you see from the Rambam, like from the letters, it doesn't sound like he's passing that way. But that's the way Rabbi Ami ended up passing. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good so far? Okay. Seth, do you want to come over here, or you're happy where you are? This way I could see when, I'd like to see the people who are learning with me. Okay, good work. Okay, yeah. Okay, sounds. No, I'm over here, I wish if you're happy there, we'll leave you there, but I'd like to see people. Okay, all right, very good. Now, so, all right, now the Gemara says on line six, everybody with me? Okay, Rabbi Yonah Amar Akdeshot, Rabbi Yonah Amar Karkaot, so there's a statement from Yochanan that they don't have Onav, they do have Bitul Mekach, but Rabbi Yochanan only made the statement limited to one of the cases, or we'll see. He made that statement in reference to one of the cases in the Mishnah. So there's two versions. According to Rabbi Yonah, he said it concerning Hekdesh. Hekdesh is when a person was makdish something in the base of Mikdash, and then that's sold or transferred or something like that. Then he may have said it concerning that, or he may have said it concerning Karka. So Mandamar Hekdeshot, so if he made the statement concerning Hekdeshot, meaning if Rabbi Yochanan said that Hekdeshot do have bitul mekach, so he says. The idea is that it means that there's a mis I could have a mistaken sale with Hekdesh. It would mean that Hekdesh, sold me something, and I could have a mistaken sale, but the Ribbono Shel Olam knows the emes. The Ribbono Shel Olam is technically the owner of it. So, but if I say nevertheless, there's a bitul mekach by Hekdesh, so that in Kal Vakomer there'd be even a bitul mekach by Karka. That's the way he's saying. But according to the other side, that says that he says mandamar karkaot aval hekdeshot lo. But the one who said no, he only said it, that Rabbi Yochanan only made a statement concerning karka, but not concerning hekdesh. He didn't make it. Why? To the Shmuel, like Shmuel's statement, the Amar Shmuel hekdesh shava mana shechilo shava pruta mechulal. Shmuel says that if I have a hekdesh is worth mana, which is 100 zuz. And I deconsecrated over something Shava Pruta, that's still an effect of deconsecration, which would mean that there is no din of bitul mekach at all. Okay, so again, so we have two versions of Rabbi Yochanan, and according to one version, he said that Hekdesh is subject to bitul mekach. According to the second version, Hekdesh is not subject to bitul mekach. So now the Gemara is going to ask questions on this. Tanana Tam, we learned the Mishnah Masechta, what? Yeah, so Bitul Mekach means that at the discretion of either party, we could say we're voiding the whole transaction because we didn't. So it means that the Gizbar, the treasure of the base of Mekach, would be selling an item. That would be the way it worked, okay? All right, we'll see later on the Gemara cases with the Gizbar, okay? Okay, let's get back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says we're on Nun Zayin Aleph. Ruth, if you're there, I know you're there, Ruth. But we're on Nun Zayin Aleph, and we're around 15 lines down. Tanan HaTam. Okay, but you have to mute yourself, though. Well, I'll help you out. Okay, 1 second. Let me help her out. Okay. Now, okay. So Tanan HaTam, we learn the Mishnah in Masechet Temura. So the Mishnah over there is talking about, let's say I have a korban or something designated as a korban. So if it's not a bal mum, if it's like an animal is fine, it's fit for the mizbeach, and I say I want it to be deconsecrated on animal B, it's totally ineffective. I can't deconsecrate an animal which was hekdesh, which is really to be brought as a korban. But then the Mishnah says, imayak kodesh bal mum, the animal that's kodesh is bal mum, it has a blemish on it, so it can't be over as a korban. Then it is an effective deconsecration. If it's a baal mum, I can get it out of hekdesh, and I say that it'll be mechulal on animal B. But with tzarich lasol damim, if animal B, the one that I'm deconsecrating, let's say animal A was worth $1,000, animal B is worth $500, so I say I want it to be deconsecrated on animal B, that's an effective deconsecration. But the Tana Mishnah says I have to make up the difference. I have to, so it was $500 less, I have to give another $500 to Hekdesh. So concerning that Mishnah, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Yetzal Lechulin Devar Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says, on a Torah level, that's Chulin. But, Sarach Laslo Damim Devarim, the Chiyuv, to make Damim pay up the difference, that's a rabbinical enactment. Really, on a Torah level, you don't have to do that. Rish Lak Shemar, Afsarich Laslo Damim Devarim. Rish Lak says, no. Even on a Torah level, you have to make up the equivalent for it. So the Gemara says, "B'maya skinan." What's the case that the Mishnah is dealing with? If we're talking about that, it was exactly ona, which is 1/6. Would it make sense that Rish Lakish would say on a deraisa level, I have to make up the difference? But it's not. We said again with ona. Again, if I'm doing a transaction and there's ona, so I underpay or overpay. So then I get my money back. I get the difference back. So here, where in other words, it's been underpayment in essence. So then it was like in essence, the base of Mikdash is the seller, and the other person's like the buyer or whatever. So there's been an underpayment to the base of Mikdash. So if it's a ona'a, so would I say that you have to? We said when it comes to Hekdesh, there is no din of ona'a. So if what is the case that the Mishnah is talking about Masechta Torah? Is it talking about that it's exactly 1/6 difference between the value of the good korban and the bad korban? But then the Mishnah says Mefuresh, there's no din of ona'a by Hekdesh. It doesn't make sense that Reish Lakish would say in that case, on a Torah level, I have to make up the difference because there is no din in ona'a by Hekdesh. He says Ela Bitul Mekach. The only way the Mishnah makes sense the way we think of it, that it's a big difference. It's Bitul Mekach. He says So now it's the question. So if the only way we can explain that Mishnah is Bitul Mekach, there's a big difference between the prices. So then the question is there a din in Bitul Mekach by Hekdesh? So according to the way Reish Lakish is learning, yeah, there is a din in Bitul Mekach because I have to make up the Torah. Torah says I have to make up the difference. So point three stocks, there's a din of Bitul Mekach. But he says, does it make sense? Does it make sense that Rabbi Yochanan would say it's only on a Rabbanon level that I have to make up the difference? Rabbi Yonah said before that according to Rabbi Yochanan holds that by Hekdesh, there is a din of Bitul Mekach. So there is a din. So in other words, so everything would be voided, but if I want to go forward with it, obviously, I would have to make up that difference on a Torah level. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar HaKarkot, so we're focusing on Rabbi Yonah, which Rabbi Yochanan Amri, Ona'in Lahem Bitul Mekach Yesh Lahem. Okay, let's go over again, and then we'll talk 1 second. So Let me just summarize it. Sometimes we get lost in the forest from the trees in these Gemaras, and we have to keep our eyes on the ball. Okay? So again, I'm just repeating everything we did up till now. So in the Mishnah we did yesterday, which was Daf and Vav, we learned there are a series of items that are not subject to the din of Onah. Onah is when there's a sixth difference between the true value and the price that's paid. There are a number of items that are totally mufka from that din. And among the items, it says Avadim Shtarot Karkaot. But Hekdesh is definitely not in the Parsha. So if there's a difference of up to a sixth of Hekdesh, clearly there's no din, no, no, that's clear. But then what if it's more than a sixth? So then, cutting to the chase, though, we had one version of Rabbi Yochanan that he said there is Bitul Mekah. So if it's more than a sixth, then there is a din of Bitul Mekah that either side can void the transaction, and then that would be where we go. So that's Rabbi Yonah's version of Rabbi Yochanan. That it would be that way. So then we learned this Mishnah in Masechet Temura. Mishnah Masechet Temura says, I have an animal, it got a mum, and I want to deconsecrate the animal, which I'm entitled to do. So I say, so animal A is worth $1,000, animal B is worth $500. I say, I want animal A to be deconsecrated and animal B. So the Mishnah says, that's effective, that's fine. And then, but you have to make up the difference. The Mishnah says, you have to make up the difference. So the question is it making up the difference on a Torah level or on a Rabbanon level? So we said that Rabbi Yochanan says it's only making it up on a rabbinic level, rabbinic stringency. On a Torah level, not. Rosh Hashanah says even on a Torah level, you have to do. So if I hold that there's a din in Bitul Mekach by Hekdesh, then that makes sense that, in other words, otherwise it's a nullity. So if the sale is going to go through, obviously I have to make up the difference. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, we said Rabbi Yochanan holds that Hekdesh is Bitul Mekach, but we said he only holds on the Rabban level. That's the question against Rabbi Yonah. So let's see back in the Gemara, and then I'll pause in just a few lines. Okay? So we're around 10 lines from the bottom, and then Zayin Aleph, 57a, 10 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, the Olam Bitul Mekach. The Gemara says, Taki, you're right. That Mishnah is talking about Bitul Mekach. It is more than a sixth difference. The Apok to Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. We have to reverse the Shitot, meaning that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says on a Daraisa level you have to make up the difference. And now Rabbi Yochanan is with the Shitato, and Reish Lakish holds, no, only on the Rabbanon level you have to make up the difference. So, by my commentary, what in fact is the point of dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So, the way we're saying now, Rabbi Yochanan says on a Torah level, I have to, it's deconsecrated. But when the Mishnah says I have to make up the difference, it means on a Torah level I have to do it. And Reish Lakish is only on the Rabbanon level. That's what we think. And Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is good with the sheet that we said before, that indeed by Hekdesh there is Bitul Mekach. But my commentary, what's the point of dispute between both of them? The Shmuel. The point that they have the argument about is Shmuel's halakha. The Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Hekdesh, which is worth a mana, 100 tzuz, and a machalel, I deconsecrated on something worth much less, just a pruta, it is deconsecrated. Mar, it lay to Shmuel. So one holds from Shmuel's halakha, that would be Reish Lakish, the way we've amended it. He says, Mar, it lay to Shmuel. And then Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold from Shmuel's whole halakha. And why? And what is the point of dispute with that? So the way Rashi explains it says, when you deconsecrate it, you give erech l'cha, the value. The question is erech l'cha mean the fair market value? Is that what erech l'cha means? Or erech l'cha is the value that I assign to it, and then I've done it. Or somebody's assignment of it. So then everything looks like it's good right now, but let me just do a few more lines and then I'll pause. He says, Ebayt Emo, or else I could say, or else I could say everybody agrees with Shmuel's halacha that in the deed, if a person did deconsecrate something and it was worth less, that is deconsecrated. But the point of dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is Mar Savar Shechilo in L'Chachilo, that one holds that if it's evident you're Mechalel, it's fine, but L'Chachilo, you can't do it. So it means that L'Chachilo, in other words, in Akinami, you deconsecrate something and it's worth much less. You didn't affect the consecration. But l'chachil, you can't do that. So that's the way Rabbi Yochanan will hold. So on a derisive level, I have to make up the difference. In other words, the tool is just saying, did you have an effective deconsecration? Yeah. But there are other dinim that click in as a result of that. He says, Umar Sabar for l'chachil. Another one holds, no. Shmuel said, I can be mechalel on a pruta. I'm a pruta person. That's it. The way I'm doing it. Okay? Everybody good so far or not? Well, it's here. Go ahead. Go.
How's it going?
Okay.
Is
More than a sixth, right? A sixth.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is, Rav Schachter said to me that even with the sixth, there's a range. So I'm not sure what that range is. But no. In other words, like, there's a range. It sounds like around a sixth. But the point is, when it's much more than a sixth, it's Bito Mekka. It's more than a sixth. How much more, I don't know, but it's more than a sixth.
But Onah is less than
in other words, is less than a sixth, and more than a sixth. Those are the things. So Onah is a sixth. Onah is a sixth. Which sounds like exactly a sixth, but Shetzer says not exactly. There's a range for it. Yeah, absolutely. That, of course, yeah. Bito Mekka's up here, then Onah, and then
right. So that it's like,
there's whether it's fraud or a mistake, but there's a deviation from the true market value of the price. Bito Mekka is so out of the ballpark than any party can void it. Right. No, Bito Mekka, and everybody takes their cars and goes home. You give me back my money.
So like, if you're in more trouble if you do it or not. Then you have to do something that's so egregious.
Well, no, because no. In other words, but in other words, or with Bito Mekka, I don't want to void the sale, and I want to go forward. Then I have to pay the market value of the item.
Right, but I'm saying, but if you have you get a penalized by a Chazal if you do this or not, right? You have to pay.
Yeah, it's not like Chazal. That's the Torah requirement. The Torah is telling that I am.
But if it's more egregious, just. People just say, get out of transactions.
Okay. Well, you right. You take your cards and go home, but you get all your money.
Why?
Well, it is a bigger penalty. You get another way. Right. Okay. All right. Let's get back into tomorrow. Okay, everybody with me? All right. Now, now we're 3 lines from the bottom, 4 lines from the bottom on the Zion Mal, 57A, 4 lines from the bottom. Harden, you with me? Are you
yes,
following,
sir.
Following me a little bit? Okay. Right. Okay. Now, Ibai name, or else I could say, Yolam Bechdei Onah. I could say the Mishnah Masechet Tamura is talking about that the deviation was 1/6, exactly 1/6, below Tepuch, and there's no need to reverse the Shita to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, who is Rav Chista Kamitvigi. So we're not getting into the original topic that we said before about Bito Mekach, but there's still a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether I have to make up the difference in price on a Torah level or the Rabbanah level, and what's that all about? He says the machloket is on Rav Chis's din. The Amar my in la mona'a in on the Torah dona'a. So that in other words, according to Rav Chista, when the Mishnah says ein lahem ona'a, it means that they're not subject to the normal din of ona'a. He says, meaning dafilu pachot mechtei ona'a chozer. In other words, it's coming out the opposite of the way we learned originally in the Mishnah. In other words, those items, not that they're outside the din of ona'a, they're more stringent than the regular din of ona'a. That even if the sales price, the deviation was less than a sixth, then nevertheless, I have to make good on the difference in price. He says, so if that's the case, so it means like this. So in the Mishnah, it could be the deviation between the true price of the animal and the animal I'm substituting for it was a sixth or even less than a sixth. But Rav Chista holds that these things are more stringent and they have the din of onah even if the deviation is less than a sixth. In other words, if let's say the second animal is worth a little bit less than the first animal. Let's say the first animal was worth $1,000 and the second animal is worth $999. So Rav Chista holds that I have to make good on that $1 short, even though it's less than a sixth. You got it? So in other words, he's saying those six items were not six items.
This doesn't relate to
in other words, it hasn't been known of. But in other words, initially we said in the Mishnah and in Bab Manal, yesterday's Mishnah, Ilrim Shein Lamonah, five only things are not subject to Onah. And there was Abadim, slave, Shtarot, commercial paper, the Karkot, the Hekdesha. That's what we said. So we thought it's not in the din of Onah, not subject to the din. Normally by a sixth, I have to make up the difference. And these are not. And then we had a question, what about Bitul Mekach? What if it's more than that? Rav Chista is saying, when it says Ein Lahem Onah, means that not subject to Onah, you're not subject to the normal din of Onah. So normal din of onah is only for six, less than a sixth. Everybody takes their cards and goes home. He says no, that there, even if it's less than that, I have to make up. And it would not less the something. It's more stringent than the regular din. That's what Rav Pis is saying. So that being the case, it's saying the so if I hold from Rav Chis's din and the animal, let's say, is a sixth less, let's say it's a sixth or less than a sixth. And let's say I have animal A that got the mom. That's worth more money. I have animal B that I want to deconsecrate it on, and that's a six less in value or less than a six less in value, but it's less value. So one, Rabbi Yochanan can hold that he doesn't hold from Rav Chisda. So there's no din of ona'a, but on a Drabban level, you should make up the money. Rish Lakish holds from Rav Chisda, so on a Deraisa level, I have to make up the difference in the money. Okay, that's a different way of it. Okay, so... So he says the so Meitbe, this now we're asking a question against Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda has a different shot in the Mishnah now. So Meitbe, ribit vona lehedyot ben ribit vona lehekdesh. The brisa that says ribit is usury, you know, charging somebody interest, and ribit vona lehedyot. That for a person, a layman, he's subject to the dinim of ribit and onaa. Vein ribit vona lehekdesh. There's no din in ribit and onaa by hekdesh. That's what the brisa says. So the Bryce says Mufurash, there's no din of Ona'a to have by Hekdesh. That's what the Bryce says. No din of Ona'a by Hekdesh. Yet according to Rav Chisda, there is a din of Ona'a by Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, Mi alima nitin du kimna b'torah Ona'a. Why is that more of a question than the Mishnah? In other words, you're asking Rav Chisda Shita. So how did Rav Chisda explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Ein lehem Ona'a. He says, Ein lehem Torah Ona'a. He says, Hachanami ribid b'din Ona'a lehedyod bein ribid b'din Ona'a lehekdesh. Meaning they're not subject to the normal laws of Onah, but they're subject to more stringent law of Onah. So that question we're able to dispose of. Now, Ihafi, if that's the case, Hanutatani Seifa, Seifa is a Chomer Behediot Rebehekdesh. So why do I learn the Seifa of the Braisa, Zechomer Behediot Rebehekdesh? That Hediot, like the law for the layman, is more stringent than the law for Kachim. So the way you're saying, Kachim is more stringent according to Rav Chisda, right? That's what you're saying. Rav Chisda is an Amari. He's not going to argue with a Mishnah or a Braisa. So he says that the layman's law is more stringent than Hekdesh. But according to Rav Chisda, Hekdesh is more stringent, at least by Ona'a. So the Gemara says a ribbit. The Gemara says when it says that the layman is more stringent, it's talking about the din and ribbit, a usury. There's no din and ribbit by Hekdesh. So litni nami zechomer behekdesh mibehediot Ona'a. So for fairness, why doesn't he say that on the other hand, Hekdesh is more chamer than hedyot with respect to Ona'a? That's what the Braisa should say, if Rav Chisda is correct. Haki hashta, how can you compare the two cases? Mishlem is a chomer behedyot mibehekdesh betulo. So if I say this is more stringent by hedyot than Hekdesh, I mean this is it's an outlier. In other words, Hekdesh is usually more stringent. In this one little prat, ribbit, hedyot is more chamer than Hekdesh. Ella, Hekdesh is a chomer betulo. In other words, are you going to say by Hekdesh that this is the only stringency and nothing else? And there's a zillion dinim by Hekdesh that are more stringent. So it doesn't make sense that Tana would make that statement. Okay, so the bottom line again is Rav Chisda says the opposite of the way we were learning yesterday, that Hekdesh is not, you know, less stringent by Ona'a. Hekdesh is more stringent than Ona'a. Okay, now the Gemara says, Ribbit to Hekdesh, Heichidami. What exactly is the case where Hekdesh can loan something at interest? What would be the fact pattern? The Gemara anticipated your question. In the place, David, you wait, you're patient. The Gemara gets to your questions. So he says, "Ribbit hekdesh hechidami, ilam de ozvei gizbar meya b'meya v'esrim." If we assume the treasurer of the base of Mekdash, he lent out $100 with a stipulation to pay back 120. He's a real loan shark. Okay, so maybe that's the case. Bahalo ma'al hagizbar, but that's the gizbar is using the hekdesh money in an unauthorized fashion. He says, became a Shemal Gizbar, Yetzumal Tabuchulin, Babalu the Hedyot. So once, in other words, the Gizbar isn't free to do anything he wants to with the property of Hekdesh, he has to use it for Hekdesh purposes. So if he loans out the money in violation of halacha to somebody, he shouldn't be loaning money to people with the money of Hekdesh. And then on top of that, he's violating halacha. But then he didn't act a milan. It's not Hekdesh's money anymore. He took it out from Hekdesh. So that could be the case. So Amar Rav Oshia, Hachamay Askinan, Yon Shkibel Lav Sapek Slatot Me Arba V'Amdu Mishalosh. So Rav Oshi said what the Bryce is referring to is where somebody entered into a contract with Hekdesh, and the contract was he's going to supply all the solar, all the fine flour to the Beis HaMikdash for this year, and he's going to do it at the price of four sa'ah for the seller. And then, so in other words, Hekdesh pays them a certain amount. We anticipate we need, a 1,000 sa'ah of solar this year, but that's the way we're doing the Beis HaMikdash, and you agree to supply us all our needs this year at the rate at which we're paying you for now. Now we're going to pay you at the rate of 4 sa'ah for the seller. And then during the year, the price of flour or the solar goes up. Now it's 3 sa'ah for the seller. So he's giving them back, they're paying X, but he's giving them more back in value. In other words, they paid at one price, he's giving them the value at the higher price. So, wait. In other words, Hekdesh paid, let's say, at the rate of $1,000 for Solet, and Hekdesh is reaping back, let's say, $1,500 in Solet. In other words, in Tishrei, they gave him $1,500, $1,000, and this is our rate. We anticipated those would be for the whole year, but then the price went up. Now they're getting more back. So that would be a case of ribbit. Now we're going to have, just a few days in the next parak, Ezu Neshach, we're going to have a lot about ribbit. So that's the case of ribbit. In other words, if I enter into an agreement with somebody and the item is not yet in the market and the market has not yet been established, but I entered into a contract with you, based on what I think the price will be, and then the price goes up, that's interest. It might be interest on a bottom level, but that's interest. That's the case of ribbit. If, on the other hand, the seller has the item in his warehouse, or he could easily get it at that moment, all over the place, then it might not be ribbit. But here's this way. Kidatani, like we learned the Braisa, let's look. Kidatani, like we learned the Braisa. Hamakabalav l'sapek slatot mi'arba, if a person undertook to supply fine flour at the rate of 4 sa'ah for a seller, but amdu mi'shalosh, and now the price went up, he says, m'sapek mi'arba. He says, then he has to supply it at the rate of the cheaper rate, and then not the more expensive rate. Mishalosh amdu miarba misapik. I didn't say. Wait. Hold it a second. One second. Okay. Yeah. I'm a He's going to supply the base of Mikdash with the price at 4 sa'ah for the sell, which is cheap. But Avdu Mishlos, and the price went up. Misapek me arba. So the din is that he still has to price the supply the flour at the cheaper price. In other words, his contract with the base of Mikdash was the cheaper price. So even though the price went up, he's going to supply it to the base of Mikdash at the cheaper price. So he's going to take a hit. But that's his deal. What it means with the base of Mikdash, that type of ribbit is permissible. He said it would normally be prohibited, but with the base of Mikdash is permissible. He says, Mishalosh, conversely, if he contracted at the expensive price, but amdu me'arba, and then the price crashed, misapik me'arba, he does the cheaper price, means he's got to give them all the solar, at a cheaper price. Shad hekdesh al yona. Hekdesh is always in the superior position. Okay, let's go over one second. So, again, we said that when it comes to ribbit, there's no din ribbit by hekdesh. It says, there's a pasuk that has about this. In other words, you can't charge a person ribbit, but the Beis HaMikdash could do it. In other words, that's the way the Chazal teach us. So what's the case with ribbit? So the Gemara says, so the first Gemara says, if the Gizbar just takes money from the treasury and loans it out, so that's an act of Mi'ila. It doesn't belong to the Beis HaMikdash anymore. So what's the case where the Beis HaMikdash is going to take ribbit? So the case is where the Beis HaMikdash contract with somebody to give flour or fine flour for the year for the Beis HaMikdash, and they contract with him at the cheaper price, and then during the year the price goes up, that person is still bound to supply to them at the cheaper rate, even though it's going to come out, the Beis HaMikdash is getting more. They paid the money up front. They're getting much. They pay out $1,000, getting back $1,500 worth of goods. And even though that seems like ribbit, it's ribbit on a ribbon level. That ribbit is the case that's not subject to the theme of ribbit. That's the way it's coming out. What's up?
Both can be a
Right, right.
So how about I lend hectic money?
Right.
And then, but I require them, right? So I'm lending them money, not that I
Yeah.
lend me the money. It's
Yeah.
not a question of ELA. And now I pay. They lent me the money. I mean,
Who's lending
no,
them?
I'm no, the person lending hectic money.
The head yard is lending money to Hektage. Yeah, I'm not aware of any cases where a person would lend money to
That's
Hektage,
bullshit.
but
And then now they pay you back
yeah.
more.
So I don't know. I'd have to look into that. I'd have to look into that. Okay, now let's just see one more case. Now,
Both of them are going to fight. Both are over. The case of the Hektish, if the Hektish is not over,
right,
if the person else is.
LaFleur, in other words, right. Both the one who's paying and the one who's receiving is over.
In this
But in
case,
this
the
case,
Hektish
not.
is
In this
not.
case, not. That's what it sounds like. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. One more case. Rav Papa Amar, Hachab Avni Binyan HaMesrud L'Gizbar Askinan Kedush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel Boni B'chol B'chach B'chishan. Rav Papa says it's a different case where it could be ribbit by the Hekdesh, where not subject to the ribbit. And that's where the person is like has stones that he's building in the base of Mikdash. So the stones would not be declared to be Hekdesh till after the structure was completed. In other words, we're afraid that the workmen or whatever will sit on the stones, get hana from the stones. So the stones were left in a chol state, even though the base of Mikdash owns it, but it's not Hekdesh. So let's say the base of Mikdash loans me or like five of these stones. Like think of stones like at the Kotel, like they make up like the Kotel, like those type of stones. Let's say they loan me five stones and I agree to pay back five stones, six stones, whatever. And they loan me five, and I'm gonna pay back six. So he says that would be a case where it's not an act of Me'ila, and nevertheless the person would be paying back more. Let's just see back in the Rashi. Look at the Rashi. Rapapa Mar Liola Bahaba, the Ozif Meya Bameya, the Esrin, So he says he lends 100 to gets 120. But Avni Binyan Askinan, the Gizbar loaned or like these stones to a plain person. They meant Meila, and the Gizbar Shalim. He says one more Rashi. Damar Shmuel Bonim Bechol Shem Bonim Binyanei Hekdesh Uykonin Habanim VaTitni Mod Hekdesh. They wouldn't purchase the materials from Hekdesh. They Shlo Yavo Umanim Baam De. So the people don't inadvertently transgress. If they sit on it, they'd be getting hana from the builders. Elohim b'hakafa, they purchase it on credit. Barehin chol achivnu b'chomas, the rechol till they're built into the structure. Hekdesh. Then once they're built, so the hekdesh money is withdrawn from the hekdesh. Below kinotam they buy it. B'hu hekdeshan or mitnadim adam avanim. Or if a person's donating it, but it's not paid to be hectic. So that could be the case. Okay. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. One second. Secondly, look for station identification. Oh, I know this guy. One second. Yeah. Tonight's Gafyomi is sponsored by Roberta Stern on the occasion of the Yahrzeit her mother. Malka bat Yosef, Zichron LeBracha. Learning tonight is Lulu Neshama of Malka bat Yosef, Zichron LeBracha. That's Roberta Stern's mother. All right, now. All right, I'll just mention this piece here. You mentioned the Shita of Rav Chisda that. How the mission means, according to Rav Chisda, that it's a stricter standard. It's even less than a sixth. So Tosfos remarks that Rav Chisda is referring only to the exclusion of Hekdesh, not the exclusion of land and slaves. Rav Chisda agrees when the Mishnah says land and slaves, like Karkot and Nabadim, are excluded from the law of Haunah, it means the law is more lenient with regard to one who overcharges for land and slaves, because the law of Haunah does not pertain to land and slaves. Whereas generally, an over-undercharge payment which equals a sixth must be returned. If one over or under charges six for the sale of slaves to land, exempt from returning discrepancy. According to in other words, how does Rav Chisda about Hekdesh we know? What does he hold about the other items mentioned in Mishnah? So Tosos on Nun Zayin says the other two, at least with Parka and with Abadim, he holds the same as everyone else. The Tosos of Rush offers a reason as to why the sages apply a strict standard of Onan to Hekdesh as opposed to more lenient. He explains that generally, if the price discrepancy is less than a sixth, it need not be refunded. Is an assumption that the defrauded party's mochel is right to collect such a relatively insignificant amount of money. However, one cheats hekdesh, a small amount of money, money must be refunded because the administrator is not authorized to forego money owed to hekdesh. On the other hand, when the Torah excludes landed slaves from onah, the sages said that Torah means to apply more lenient state of onah. The Rashbam in Baba Batra explains that the Torah considers any price paid for real estate as a fair price because land apparently does not have a fixed market value. Therefore, regardless of how much or how little one pays for real estate, the Torah does not consider fraud and does not require a refund. Okay, yeah, what's up? So he can pay workers who are working in the Beis HaMikdash. He can pay for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Money would be viewed as, you know, like this. That's nothing to do with his official duties. That's in other words, you're not supposed to like invest the money in the market, you know, like that. You're a gizmo, you know. You use the money for the needs of the Beis HaMikdash. You could pay the worker in the Beis HaMikdash. That I could do. Right. 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 You can't invest on Wall Street, you know, can't do commodities futures, things like that, you know. Right, that's correct. Right. Okay. All right. As far as I know. I mean, we just saw though that the stones that they weren't hekdesh until they were declared later on. But he said over here, the way Rashi brought it down is that they were supplied on credit to the Beis HaMikdash. And then when everything was done, the Beis HaMikdash paid for it. Or he said that if somebody donated it, it would be donated, but he wouldn't declare it to be hekdesh. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, so we said in the Mishnah, that, again, so the Mishnah in yesterday's daf said that certain things don't have onah. That's avadim shtarik or kodhek they showed, and then ein lehem teshlumi kefa below teshlumi or rabba chamisha. That those specific items are not subject to the din of kefel or rabba chamisha. So kefel is if I steal something. So I steal your shtar, I steal your karka. It's not subject to kefel. And rabba chamisha, that would only be by hekdesh, by stealing ashur or seh, but it's not subject to those dinim. Kefel, if a ganav steals something, he pays 5. That's kefel. If he steals ashur or seh, he pays 4 or 5. If he, if he slaughters it or sells it, 4 or 5. Okay, we're wrapping it up. So he says here, so where do we know that these items that we mentioned in Mishnah are not subject to the din of kefel? So the Tana Rabbanan, so Gemara is quoting a pasuk. This pasuk is in Parshat Mishpatim. It's talking about a shomer chinam. Now, the shomer chinam is patur for Geneva Veda. So he's guarding it, but if it's Geneva Veda, he's patur. But let's say he falsely says it was stolen, but it really was not stolen. And then we find out that he's a big liar. So he's toying Tana Ganav. Then he gets the din of a Ganav, and then he's a shomer. It goes from being a shomer to being chayav kefel. So the Tana Rabbanan, you know what I mean? The Tana Rabbanan, I'll quote the bar pesha for any like wrongdoing. Cloud, that's a generalization. Al shor, al chamor, al se, al sama, whether it relates to an ox, a donkey, you know, a lamb, or a garment, that's a prat. Those are the specifics. Al kol abiga, anything that's lost, I show you more that he says, chazar b'klal. Klal u'prataklal, it's a, like a generalization, specification, and generalization. Iyatadan l'kina prat. It has to be, it was like a sandwich. I have generally, like anything he takes care of, then it mentions all the specific items, and anything he has. So he says, just like the specifics are something that's movable and it's worth something, in other words, so the item that's up to the din of kefel by the shomer chinam if he lies about it, or anybody for kefel, it has to be something which is davar metaltel, something which is movable, and gufo mamon, and the thing itself is worth money, the object itself. So karka is out the door. So, you know, if I steal somebody's karka, of course, it's karka in an exela, but it's not subject to the dinim of zela. But if I go on your karka, you know, I have 50 men with rifles and I go off to karka, I'm not chayav kefa. He says, Yatsu avadim shuv shel karkaot. Avadim, the pasuk we mentioned on Shabbos, it's like connected, it relates to karka. It says, you'll bequeath the avadim to your your sons, La Resha Akuzah, to inherit it as a Akuzah, like hereditary land. So the Hekesh, the Torah compares karka, the ebit to karka. So shtarot, commercial paper excluded. Shafnish metalflin and gufon mamon. So they are metalfil, but the item itself is not worth money. It's what it represents. And hekdeshot, amar kura reyehu, reyehu b'lo hekdeshot. Says v'chitein ish el reyehu. Ben gives to reyehu, his friend. So reyehu b'lo hekdesh. In other words, not hekdesh. Here reyehu is actually the shomer, but the Gemara wants to say like the person's friend. And in some way that wouldn't be hekdesh. One second. Yeah, it's interesting. Tosos has in Ruben, Baba Kama says, "Mi gunavi beit ha'ish." He said, "Stolen from the house." But let me just take one look at this thing. One second, the Reyehu. Give me one second. One second. In Zion. One second. Yeah. But he said, I quote maybe the wrong pasuk. I'm sorry. Can I answer the question? Can you get me a chumash on the bottom shelf down there? Okay, the blue chumash, the bottom shelf, okay? Bottom shelf on the left. One blue chumash, okay? Thank you very much, Hart. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, so the way the arch was translated does sound vikunavi beit ha'ish. That's something like that. And see, it says Reyehu, in the pasuk it says v'chitein ish reyehu, a man gives to his friend, but the Reyehu sounds like he's the shomer. He says, and then vikunavi beit ha'ish is stolen from the house of the man, so beit ha'ish, so, but wait, let's see how the arch has it here. Let's see, one second. In other words, if I steal from a fellow man, I'm subject to kefa. If I steal from the hekdesh, I'm not stealing from the person. You know what I mean? The gunavi beit ha'ish. That's the limud. It doesn't seem that's more like Tosfos says. It doesn't sound like the pasuk of Reyehu. He says, of course, the pasuk yishalem shnayim l'reyehu. Oh, so that could be like it's a different pasuk. So not Kitin Isha Reyehu, it says Asher Yoshiun Elohim Lashon Kol Yishleim Shnai L'Reyehu. So he'll pay twice the Reyehu. Kefil is paid L'Reyehu. That's the right. So the Reyehu is not the base of Mikdash. Okay, that works out well. Okay, so it's wrong Reyehu I was doing. Okay, let's get back on the Gemara. Okay, now below Tashlumi or Rav Chamisha, there's no din of 4 and 5. If I steal a lamb or an ox, and then I slaughter or sell it, there's no din of 4 or 5. If the thing belonged to Hekdesh, by Taima, Tishlumi Rabba Chamisha Marakwana Vilus Tishmish Tosha Verba. Versus you pay 4 and 5. 4 and 5 includes Kefal in it. Once we say that Hekdesh is not something to Kefal, so there would never be 4 or 5, it would be 3 and 4, but that's not what the Torah says to do, so it's out of the picture of that. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Shomer Chinam Eino Nishpal Kulei. The Gemara says that if a person is a Shomer Chinam on any of those specific items, the Karka, the Avadim, the Shtarot, or the Hekdesh, so if it's a Shomer Chinam, he normally has to ensure that he wasn't Poshea. So, and he's Patur from everything else. But if it's one of these items, the Shomer Chinam doesn't take the Shua. So it's either that we believe him, or it might be that since someone has said that even if the Shomer Chinam is Poshea, then he's not Chayav, someone has said. So he says, Minani Mile, so where do we know that Shomer Chinam wouldn't take a shvua of these items? The Tan Rabbanan, it's the same parsha we're talking about, Kitain Isha Reyehu Klal, Kesavo Kelim Prat, and then on the side he says, Lashmor, Chazar B'Klal. Klal Prat Klal, it's the Tan Lokina Prat. Ma Prat Mefurish Devar Matalta L'Gufo Mamon, just like it has to be something movable and it's worth money, of course, Matalta L'Gufo Mamon. Yetsu Karkal Shinam Taflin. So again, it's talking about the first portion of the Torah is talking about a Shomer Chinam, and it's describing the dinim of the Shomer Chinam, and he's got to take shua that he wasn't poshea. But it says that the person will give one of these. He says it has to be the thing that he's giving has to fit the category, so it has to be davar metaltil l'gufo mamon. Yitzu karkaot shinam metaltil. Karka is not metaltil. Yitzu avadim shukshu l'karkaot. Avadim are compared to karka. Sushtaro Chapishma Talton Gufa Mamon, Hekdesha Ramar Koreyu, Reyu Beloshal Hekdesh. He says, here again, it's Reyu and not Hekdesh. So, which Reyu is kind of up here though? One second. So here he is with the United States of each. One second. One, two, six. Yeah, so 22:6 between Isha Reyehu, the person gives it to Reyehu. The only thing I say is like basically this maybe doesn't have friends, but it doesn't quite fit in so well the way I'm thinking. Say again, repeat. Yeah, but in other words, if A is giving it to B, that's what we're saying. Now we're trying to say that if the item that's being given over is Hekdesh, we're doing here. There's no shvuah. That's what we want to say. Right. So I'm saying. So it says ki tein isha reyu. Person gives to his friend. So the friend is a regular shomer chinam. That's not the exclusion. That's not the exclusion. He's saying if the item is the hekdesh, the one who gave it was the gizbar. Then that's the way lechor it should be. That's the part that's bothering me a little bit with this. He says, Rivlo Shal Hakdesh. Okay, now, Nosi Sachar in Mishal Lechulei. So Shomer Sachar, he is the one that's chayav for Geneva Beda. Shomer Sachar is chayav for Geneva Beda. But here, he's patur from it. It's one of these items. So Manani Milei, Tan Rabbanan, same idea that we had before. This is a different parsha. Again, in the Chumash, there's another paragraph which talks about it, and this is talking about Shomer Sachar. Tan Rabbanan, Kitain Isha Reyehu Klal. You give A, B, or C, and then Kazar V'Klal, Klal Protoklal, generalization, specification of generalization, Yitzan Alokina Prat. My Prat, of course, Devar Metal to the Gufo Mamon, Akur Devar Metal to the Gufo Mamon. So it's something movable, and it's worth something. It's who Karkotin Metalflin, it's who Abadim Shushal Karkot, it's who Star Shosh Metalflin and Gufo Mamon. Hekdesh and Amar Kra Reyehu Reyehu Bloshal Hekdesh. This is Kitain Ishrei of Bloshal Hekdesh, but the thing is, it's a similar limud, but the thing I'm still a bit bothered because it's like Kitain Ish El Reyehu. So, one second, let me just see. But what did the article say? What the case is? One second. Sell the one entrusting property to him. Right. In other words, he wants to say the Shomer is a pal of the Baylor. In other words. Reuven gives it to Shimon. So Shimon is the Reyehu. So he's his pal. But the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have pals. So that's the limud he wants to say. Like Reyehu. In other words, so with Hekdesh, I'm not the pal of Hekdesh. You know what I mean? That's the way the limud goes. Okay, we did the daf. Yeah, let me just see if there's anything else to say here. There are always more things to say, but let me just see a little bit. All right, I think we're good for tonight. Okay, now, again, so learning was Lulu Neshama, Roberta Stern's mother. That's Malka Bat Yosef, Zechron Lebracha. Hold it, let me end the recording.